On the show today, we have Javelin Strategy's very own John Bazaar talking about the latest findings from their 2020 Identity Fraud Report, and these numbers are mind-blowing, so you gotta check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Javelin's very own John Bazaar. John, how you doing today?
Hey Mike, I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Hey, we're talking about a 2020 Identity Fraud Report that you guys just released, and can you give us a quick overview of this report, because I think it's based on 2019 findings, right?
Absolutely. So we're looking at data that we acquired by consumers that we surveyed. So it went up to 5,000 consumers.
Oh, wow.
Collected, it's an enormous sample, but it's kind of necessary to get this deep and meaningful amount of data.
Mm-hmm.
The survey itself is the longest running of its sort. So we've been at this since 2004.
Oh, wow.
So kind of blows your mind a little bit, Mike, because you think about identity fraud, and we think it's something that happened yesterday, but it's been around for a while, and it just keeps mutating and changing, so we're keeping our eye on that.
Yeah, I bet you guys have seen some massive changes over that time span, for sure. How sophisticated it's gotten, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the ease that criminals sort of perpetrate identity fraud today, there's just so many channels, and as consumers kind of adopt more digital behavior, especially with the pandemic, everybody's a little rusty and tentative, and we all make mistakes,
right.
And sometimes they can be fatal.
Yeah, I heard fraud was just off the charts during the last few months. So yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
sure.
Getting back to this report, what were some of the key findings that you guys discovered here? Because it sounded like there was obviously account takeover, payments, passwords, a smaller number of more lucrative schemes got there. So can you give us a quick overview or some key findings?
Absolutely. The findings are pretty powerful. Let's just talk about money for a second, because everybody
sure.
likes to talk about that. 16.9 billion with a B.
Wow.
And losses within the industry. That's pretty incredible. That's a 15% increase over the previous survey year. So it's really significant. It's shocking when you start to look at those numbers and think, are we really inching forward with more? Because everybody has some sort of technology they're using today that they feel mitigates identity fraud and a lot of other things. But you know what? The criminals are just doing a better job of it. And they're doing so with account takeover that you referenced. 72% increase during the study of account takeover. And when I talk about that, I really mean pretty much any kind of an account you can think of. So your mobile accounts and your emails are fabulous gateways to financial accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has them sort of interlinked. So 72% is quite a whopper, for sure.
No.
The other thing I was thinking about, 84% of American consumers still feel okay about passwords.
Really?
Yes. We've got to kind of move them past that. You know, let's start getting along a little bit. I think it's important.
Yeah, I can't wait till the password is gone.
So I know. I can't remember another one.
Yesterday. Oh, my gosh, please.
Absolutely.
So why are these findings so significant right now? Because it sounds like it keeps going up. No wonder there's so many cyber criminals out there, because it can be very lucrative, and like you said, sometimes it's pretty easy to get this cash, mm-hmm. I guess, get these funds. So from your perspective, what's the significance of these numbers?
Well, as the numbers go up and the losses go up, it really creates this compression for financial service providers. You know, part of why we're here and why we've taken this really long, deep annual dive looking at this data, it's really to try to help everyone understand where there's wiggle room, what kind of technology we have to apply to sort of, you know, reduce some of the frauds really important. And also, you know, people are really fond today of saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So if we don't paint it out there and we get in front of executives and we show them hard numbers, they can't make decisions that are important for keeping the business going.
Right.
And within the credit union industry, it's exactly the same thing. You know, go to an executive, they're going to say, I want to see some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important to really understand this, but to also apply technology to it and really try to reduce as much of it as possible, because we want to keep happy members. That's the whole thing. You know, people say frictionless, but we really want to focus on happy, you know, mm-hmm. good experience.
Yeah, there's a fine line between the convenience and the security. And when you find that line, that's where you'll find the happiness, I'm assuming. So, but it's really a fine line.
Yeah, we find that consumers really, I mentioned that they love their password or they're comfortable with it, but they're also aware of a lot of other really great technologies out there. You would be hard-pressed to find very few consumers today that wouldn't acknowledge the fact that they know what a selfie page is. They know what a thumbprint or a facial recognition would be. Mm-hmm. And they're okay with that. The ease of use, some of them they find a little easier to use than others. But I think we have to remind ourselves, it's time to get the hustle on. Adopt the technology. Get rid of the passwords.
Yes.
Find a happy, easy biometric solution, because consumers are going to go with whatever we go with. So we kind of have to do that prompting. You know, consumers look to their financial providers all the time for security. Mm-hmm. We discovered with this study, as a matter of fact, Mike, that most people lean on their financial institution.
Really?
Yeah. If you want to see who's, sitting on the hot button, it's the financial institution. Mm-hmm. They expect more from us.
Yeah. Especially security. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So were there any, besides the passwords step, were there any other surprises in there that you guys, something that really kind of raised your eyebrows?
Well, I think it was the first time that non-card fraud accounts surpassed a credit card account takeover.
Oh, okay,
so, so all the emails, everyone's using an Amazon or a gig economy app. Once you get the mobile number or the email number out there, you can pretty much traverse everyone's entire life picture.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of peer-to-peer payment fraud. We saw incredible, jumps in those numbers. And we're coming out with a study next week about that. But just, it's an exponential problem.
Okay.
And it's just one of the first times we've really seen it kind of leap over payment cards. It's not just a payment card problem.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. One of the other things I saw in there was that older consumers face lower fraud risk. Can you explain that one real quick?
Well, it's interesting. We thought it was really kind of stunning when we looked at the sort of the age demographic.
Yeah.
And we were really looking at it from a standpoint of how comfortable are people with their passwords, with biometrics, different things. And, it's the age optimism bias that we talk about in our report. Young people, they're savvy. They feel that they know everything. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar to those of you with children?
Oh, yeah. They know more than me, for sure.
They do. And so what happens is it kind of skews the experience up because they're a little more adventurous. They say, I know everything. How could I possibly be victimized more than my grandmother who's maybe not as digitally connected? Well, it's really quite the opposite. Older Americans are actually a little more tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
They may lose more dollar-wise, but the younger folks are actually experiencing fraud in higher numbers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an interesting factoid.
Yeah.
It's one that you couldn't make out.
I know. That's why I saw it. Oh, my gosh. I got to ask John about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a shocker.
No doubt. And so, it wouldn't be a timely question, but I have to include a question about COVID. And there, have you seen anything related to COVID as far as fraud goes that you can address right now, or is it too soon to see?
Oh, no, it's not too soon. I think everyone's probably going to nod their head when I start talking about this. I'll try to be quick. There's a couple of things. Unemployment check fraud, a big part of this COVID. So if you're not getting a legitimate refund, the fraudsters are out there using identities to create a fake refund, and they're aggregating those payments. They're using peer-to-peer payment apps to kind of aggregate the money and move them through almost like a mule network. So that's one thing that's definitely happening quite a bit. The other part of it too is, people unfortunately need basic consumer staples,
mm-hmm.
and they're stepping outside of probably their comfort zone because they see somebody who's offering them a cheap deal on a mask that they need for their safety. So they say, well, I know I'm not supposed to send money to a stranger, but I'm going to use this app and send the money.
Yeah.
Or I want to look at a COVID map and see where the infection rates are, and I'm going to go to this, Eastern European controlled website, and then I'm going to introduce malware into my life by looking at a COVID map, without thinking about it. So, yeah, we've been fraught with a lot of problems out there.
Yeah, I think we were so desperate, or still are probably so desperate for information and all that type of stuff. At times, it may have made many of us really gullible or vulnerable to these types of things, because we're, you know, just really desperate for that information or any or protection or something like that. That and of course, the fraudsters are going to prey upon that vulnerability for sure.
Absolutely. You know, I believe it was June 10th, Mike, the FBI had to come out and say, look, everybody, consumers are falling off the cliff with counterfeit banking apps. They're consuming, you know, they want to get into the digital stream for convenience and safety, but they're consuming apps to really bad places. You know, don't go to Facebook and get a banking app, people. That's the biggest mistake you can do. Don't do that. But, you know, as bankers, credit union professionals, we know that. They don't. So we need to start having conversations with people to say, go to the app store, come to us. If you visit the financial center, we'll put the correct app on your phone. We'll talk you through this. But that's a scary thing that I had to come out and say that.
Oh my gosh. I mean, okay. You learn something new every day, and that's the one that's going to stick for me today. Oh my goodness. Wow. John, so where can folks go find, obviously there's a ton more information, but I know we want to be respectful of your time. Where can folks find out more detail? Where can they go to find this report and find more details on it?
Sure. Well, everything that we do is in a web portal. So come to javelinstrategy.com.
Okay.
And if you can't find what you want there, I'm on LinkedIn all the time.
Okay.
Or any of my associates as well. So we're happy to help or to consult.
All right. We will put the links, the proper links in the show notes too, so people can get right to it as well. And then if they have questions, they'll give you a shout and say, hey, we need some more information. And you guys will definitely have it, I'm sure.
So we would love that. Thanks.
Good stuff. All right, John, thanks again. Appreciate this information. And yeah, let's do this more often. This was really, really good information. So thank you for that.
Thanks for sharing with everybody.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, sir. Well done.
Thank you.